Okay.
Okay. We're going to spend a little time now on what we call the perfect call one script. We use the word perfect because it has perfect script, perfect words, perfect sentences, paragraphs, breakpoints, tonality, and was fundamentally sound. We also like to refer to the call one script as the perfect golf swing. For those of us that like golf, I don't personally golf, but I do know that the golf swing, the first club, the first hole is by all means the most important part of that particular golf score. And so if there are any hitches anywhere in call one script, we begin to lose the essence and the connectivity. And certainly the goals of the call one script are first to know who your customer is. So they're calling from 50 other states, from the South to the Southwest, to the Midwest, to the Northeast, to the West Coast, to the Northwest. Certainly 95% of those are gainfully employed. 10% will be 20 to 30 years of age. 10% will be 57 to 65 years of age. They'll come from all immigrant and ethnic backgrounds. And you'll have about 5% that are mavericks and self-employed. And then, of course, you'll have another 5% that are immigrants, ethnicities, and the like. It's so important, whoever is developing relationships, that they have an ability to connect with both a female executive, a husband and wife team, a managing manager and executive, both male and female connectivity. If you have the inability to connect with both genders, then you're going to sell half as many franchises each year. So it's so critically vital to do that. So first of all, it's knowing your customer. The second thing that we want to talk about in call one, what we call our get acquainted call, our GA get acquainted call, is the importance of building trust. Trust is the foundation of the relationship between your franchise candidate and certainly you as a franchise sales executive. Trust. The second thing I'd like to share with you is enthusiasm. It is vitally important that your client comes away from call one with tremendous amounts of enthusiasm about you as a person, as a professional, your industry, your concept, your unique points of difference. Thirdly, procedure. The third most important element on call one is procedure, that the franchise candidate understands that there's credibility, there are steps, there are processes to be approved and to match with you as a franchisor. And then, of course, the other element of call one is to make sure that you are selling the importance of the request for consideration, filling the form out, submitting it, presenting it to your executive committee, and then once you receive your request for consideration as a fair and meaningful approach to do business, then your candidate will move through the discovery process, inviting them into the concept compatibility call, and then into the mutual expectation, into the startup workshop, and into a discovery day. So those are the goals of the get acquainted call. I also want to emphasize the importance of, if the call is less than 20 minutes long, I would go as far to say it has a 99% kill rate. The call is now dead, officially. If the call goes over 40 minutes, I call it baking a relationship, baking the cupcake, and burning the cupcake. It's not to say that the cupcake won't be tasty at 50 minutes an hour, but certainly your client is tiring. Or gathering a new steam of energy. So you only have two points of contact at 50 minutes or an hour. A client that's tiring out and getting overwhelmed, or a client that's got their second wind and they can't even believe how excited they are to be on the phone for an hour. So I want to offer this to you as a 20 to 40 minute call. The sweet spot being somewhere between 20 to 40 minutes. Now, as we get started in call one, I would like to talk a little bit about connecting. And whether that's a live telephone call coming directly into your telephone cell, corporate headquarters, a live phone call, or an internet lead coming from your corporate website, what we call an internet franchise portal, Somebody that would submit a form, it would be filled out with their name and address, in which you would be calling them. So a live lead, you have a lot of control over because they're calling you. You are on an equal footing. But when you're calling a piece of paper back, the client is in control of the sales process before you even make the call. So you must understand where your client is at when they've submitted a lead form. A day later, you call them, what have you. So that's the difference between an internet lead and a live lead. Secondly, today we are going to be training on what we call opening sentences to connect. Opening sentences to connect with a client, both on a live lead as well as an internet lead. We're going to talk about two methodologies. But before we do that, I want you to know that when a client fills out an internet form, they are at a point of interest, a point of pain, a point of curiosity, and it's our responsibility to call that client within 2 minutes of their point of inquiry. It's our responsibility to then call them later that night, the next day, until they have a nice opportunity for us to connect. And it's our responsibility to have our phone messages scripted and orderly so that we have 5 or 6 phone messages that we can follow up, providing they're on vacation or not available or traveling or busy. So we'll first start with a live call where a call comes in, second ring. Thank you for calling Air Duck International. This is Scott. May I help you? Yes, I'm calling to get some information on your franchise. Well, great. Can I ask you your name, please? Chris, nice to meet you, Chris. My name's Scott Simsek, President and CEO, based here in Westlake Village, California. I'd like to first thank you for this phone call. And Chris, so that I can get you the right information, kindly personalize it for you, and tell you a little bit about an overview of the Air Duct International franchise opportunity, do you have a few moments to see if we're compatible? Absolutely, yes. Thank you very much. And great, Chris. So what I'd like to do right now is, if you don't mind, give you a little overview of Air Duct International. But first, if you might allow me to ask you a question, what attracted you to reaching out to Air Duct International today? Was there a certain thing in the ad you saw, maybe a demographic, a concept, a picture, something that you might have seen managerially? What attracted you to contacting us? And the reason we want to invite the word attract is that when we say to them, why did you call? What do you want? How can I help you? How did you hear of us? Those are very narrow points of really not creating a welcoming, inviting, and comforting atmosphere. So we like to think that comfort and trust is built in comfort, and comfort is built in trust. And so we believe that it's a reverse funneling effect, that the widest part of your funnel should be the widest part of comfort. And so the word attract is something that we believe allows the client to say, gosh, I love the business model, I love the numbers, I love the demographics, I love the niche, I love the industry, but it allows them to open up and sort of become comfortable with us. Now, if you'll notice when I asked that question, I asked them their first name first. I said, Chris, what attracted you to Air Duct International? I did not say, how did you hear of us? I did not say, why did you call? I did not say, what attracted you to Air Duct International? I said, Chris, what attracted you to Air Duct International? So using the first name, connecting, if it's not your nature, if you think it's too fluffy or flowery, please do not feel a requirement to do that. It's just if it's a natural part of your personality to connect by using people's first name, it always adds a lot more connectivity and comfort. But again, if it's not, I don't recommend that. Now, we're going to shift over to the internet lead for just a moment, and we're going to call this piece of paper up, and they don't even know you're calling. And we're basically going to call up and say, Chris, this is Scott Simsek with Air Duct International, based in Ann Arbor, Westlake, California. And I wanted to reach out to you. Your name was given to us by Franchise Opportunities, and I wanted to see if you were still interested in a business opportunity. Or, Chris, would this be a decent or a good time for you to speak? Or, Chris, your name was given to me by Franchise Opportunities. You may remember last night or this evening. I'm hopeful that you inserted your name and address, but would love to share with you. Do you have a few moments to speak about Air Duct International? Chris, in respect to your time, I know it's lunchtime, breakfast, dinner. Would you like to have an opportunity to speak now, get acquainted with our concept, or maybe spend a little time this evening or first thing tomorrow morning? All of these are methodologies to create comfort, connection, and allow that person to want to stay on the phone. And it's so important that you create an environment where that it's not too assuming, too confident, too arrogant, but that creates an environment where they want to stay on the phone with you so that you can gradually invite them into a 20-minute phone call. Remember, if we can't invite a client to join us for 20 minutes, the call is a dead call. So your ability to engage, connect, invite is so critically important. So again, this is how we connect with an internet lead and as we proceed forward. Now, as we proceed forward with our client, what I would like to ask you to do is maintain the order of the questions and maintain the scope and sequence of the questions so that once they say what attracted you, they give you a wonderful answer, you're starting to get comfortable, they're a stranger from Missoula, Montana, or Texas, they're a stranger, you're talking to a stranger, but you're getting comfortable. Now, the next thing I would like for you to do is ask the most fitting question, and what that is, Chris, could you give me a little overview of your background? Could you give me a little overview of where you've been, where you're at, where you're going? Anything you'd like to share about an overview of your background? I'd also like to invite you to feel comfortable about married, children, your wife's name, your children's name. We're a family. And so please feel free. Anything you'd like to share, like to give you an opportunity. Now, this is the second most comfortable question that you can engage with, because it allows the client to tell them their story. And their story is their world. It's their oyster. It's their opportunity to spend 3 to 5 to 7 minutes talking about where they work, where they live, are they a homeowner, are they a renter, how old they are they married, they're single, any and all things. And this is your opportunity to listen actively. Now, when your client is speaking, your body language is very important. Body language over the phone is as important as body language in person. You're trying to create a socially comfortable environment, and so we want to be active listeners. We do not ever want to go silent because it makes the client feel extraordinarily uncomfortable. Have you ever driven in the car with somebody on a vacation or to a golf trip or a hunting trip, and you got up and you went on an hour drive, and the person next to you made you feel so uncomfortable because they just basically stared out a window? Have you ever been in an environment where the person you're with was so quiet that they did not offer any questions or any information to make that an environment that was comfortable for you? Have you ever done that to somebody else? And in this case, we do not want to be that person that makes somebody else uncomfortable by going silent, because that projects an authoritative attitude, an arrogance, a lack of humility, and a self-serving mindset. So we want to use I see, I understand, you bet. God, that sounds fantastic. Again, within the body of your personality, within the body of your comfort. So as your client is talking about where they work, that should share with you their financial capability. Are they a homeowner or are they a renter? Do they have a supportive spouse or do they have a spouse that doesn't want them to be in business? Are they gainfully employed or not employed? Are they in transition? Are they in pain? Do they like their boss? Do they like their travel? Have there been corporate downsizing, turnover? Have they been laid off? Are they on unemployment? Are they on severance? Are they 30 years of age and their dream is going by them and they want to be self-employed? Are they 40 and had a change of life where they've been a corporate executive for 20 years? Are they 45 and saying it's too late? Are they 50 and say, honey, when are you going to believe in me? all of these elements of pain that are occurring circumstantially in their life, professionally, that they have no control over, or that are vulnerabilities that are happening in their life. And so they've got this deep fire down below. I want to be my own business. I have a vision. I have a dream. I want to be self-employed. I've got this fire, but I cannot leave my job. I have the homeowner. I've got the 401k. I've got the life insurance. My wife and my husband are not supportive of me, and that's okay. It's a team. It's a unity. It's a family. It's a husband and wife. In fact, our values suggest in a marriage that unless a husband and wife agree together, it will not be done. So it would be our values as a corporation that anytime a spouse says no to a major life decision that relates to children, money, careers, or education, or moves, we think it's valuable to say there's no decision to be made. Two people don't agree. When we get to that point, we will. Those are our values as a corporation as well. Now, having said this, the overview question, I'd like for you to now offer a little bit more value to this question. Value meaning, I'd like for you to now engage with the client by asking a question. You've been listening 2 or 3 minutes, you're active, you're engaging. I would like for you to say, Chris, in that you're gainfully employed, are you looking to supplement, transition, replace, or break away? And by throwing rope over the fence, you are able to throw somebody in pain that can't see their future, can't see you. You're throwing them rope to climb over the fence to now be able to manage your business. One of the things that is so disappointing in a get acquainted call is to get a client really excited and they get off the call in an hour and they're so excited about being in the air duct cleaning business and they realize the next day, honey, I got so excited I was ready to go, but I can't leave my job. I can't leave our family income. I can't leave our health insurance and I can't leave our 401k. And there's no way I'm going to break away from this $70,000 in income. And when 95% of your prospects are gainfully employed, that's a very difficult situation to be in. So it's your job as a consultant to give them the rope to come over the fence by asking, Chris, in that you're gainfully employed, are you looking to supplement your income, replace, transition, or break away? And when you offer them this rope, this continuum of strategy, now you're giving them an opportunity to be empowered to say, gosh, I work for home. Maybe I can supplement my income. Maybe I can transition this. Maybe I can replace my income. And maybe I can completely break away. This is what we call throwing the rope in the overview question. Now, as your call is in your 5th, 6th, 7th minute now, and your client feels extremely well about your listening and your respect, now we're moving a little bit deeper into the relationship where now we're going to say, one of the things so important to me, Chris, that you know, is that the reason we want you to know about being able to supplement, transition, replace, or break away is because for every 10 owners in our franchise system, 3 of those are going to be owner-operated. They enjoy the technician, the phone, the customer, the service. 3 of those may be husband and wife teams, partner, investor, partner. They're both going to do a little bit. Nobody's going to do a lot. And then, of course, we're going to probably have 3 or 4 that are manage the managers. Great marketing, sales skills, can hire a key employee, hire them, manage them, you know, that key employee, if you will. So we want you to know that within our business model, that there's so many options in the way in which you can manage the business. We think it's important for you to know that you can either be an owner-operator, manage the manager, or partner, husband-wife team. And that's why we want to share with you the importance of asking you, do you want to supplement, transition, replace, or break away for those managerial reasons. The worst thing that could happen to you, Chris, is for you to get all excited and want to be in our industry and not be able to ever be in it. It's our job to add that consultative value to this relationship. Now, Chris, if you don't mind, what I would like to ask you a question. Do you have any special or genuine interest in an area of our business. Now, one of the most important things early in a relationship is we want to help our clients acquire passion. Now, a lot of people don't know their passion, their purpose, what industry, what customer they want to service. So for anybody to be successful, they have to see themselves in it in 2 years. They have to see themselves, whether they're making money or not making money, it being something that's a vocation to them that through tough times they could remain committed to. I always say the Catholic priest or the minister or the rabbi are not working for the money. They're working as a vocation. And that vocation is because it's something that's dear to their values and their purpose. And that's why in the good times and bad, they're able to remain committed to their professional line of work. So what we want you to do is we want you to come up with a question that helps the client acquire their passion. For example, if you're in the weight loss industry, the fitness industry, we would invite a question like this. Chris, do you have any special or genuine or remote interest in either health, fitness, nutrition, or wellness? Now, why is that so important? Because one person might see themselves as a physician, physician's assistant, a nurse. The wellness is a passion of theirs. Another person might see diet, nutrition, cooking, a chef. Another one might say, my wife and I work out, we go to the gym. Another one might say the aging of America, the baby boomer, the children's obesity epidemic. So if you ask a question that says, do you have any interest in fitness? You've missed the wellness client. You've missed the fitness client, you've missed the weight loss client, you've missed the diet client. So my point is, on this message, you have to ask yourself in the air duct business, Chris, do you have any special or genuine interest in working with people?
Hey, Scott, sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm freaking out. I just want to make sure that it's recording. Otherwise, you know, it'd be all to waste. And
we don't want to relax you. We want you
okay,
intense.
We're good.
You fired up.
Whenever you're ready.
This is one of the struggling questions because it's very difficult when I bring in paparazzi, air duct, rights place, to help people find this emotion, provoke this passion, provoke this flame, provoke this fire. You know, it's hard. You know, you have to sort of think about that. So I'm ready to go. Flip me on.
You're all ready to go.
Fantastic. As we go, each brand, each industry, we call this lighting the flame, giving the client the opportunity to become passionate. Now, as a franchise consultant, it's your responsibility to guide your client to identify, I call it putting the steak on the grill. How can we help our client as consultative experts, how can we help them identify their passion? And I must say, in your own scripts, in your own relationship building, it's so important that you stop and build your own question here, because you've got to allow the client to put themselves on a grill to get fired up and get passionate. And I would tell you that, Chris, if you're in the health and fitness industry, Chris, do you have any special or genuine interest in either health, fitness, nutrition, or wellness? So you've got to find three or four things that a client can grab onto that they've been thinking about, that's intuitive, and that's the reason they called you. There was a reason they reached out to you. It might have been a mobile business. It might have been low startup cost. It might have been perceived as a lifestyle business. It might have perceived as low overhead, high income. It might have been husband and wife. It might have been no big overhead. It might have been, wow, there's homes in America, the HVAC industries, that everybody needs heating and air. You know, so there's something intuitively that caused them to reach out, to fill out the form, to want to learn about you. We just don't know if it's the financial aspects or the conceptual aspects. So we have to ask you to sit down to come up with the very best question you can. Why? Once again, so that our clients can see themselves in the business in 2 years, whether they're making money or not, they still like the business. And that's why putting the flame, putting the steak on the grill, the passion question is the third question in the process. Now, the next question as we go through here, we want to start to discover with our client where they're at on the journey of owning their own business. So now we want to help them discover. So one of the most important questions that I like to ask is, Chris, How long have you been sincerely looking for a business? Now, if you'll notice, I didn't say, Chris, how long have you been looking for a business? How long have you been looking for a business? The most common word would be looking. One of the most important words in building a relationship are feelings. And so what I have learned in building relationships of trust is when you use the word think, you really are not building trust. Because thinking has nothing to do with your heart, your soul, and your feelings for another person. So what we like to do is say, how are you feeling? Not, what are you thinking? A huge difference between somebody that wants to get close to you, more vulnerable with you, more honest with you, more real with you, more authentic with you. When I say, what are you thinking? It's a distancing question that puts a wall up between you and I. How many people have ever asked you, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Not, what are you thinking? Okay? So usually your thinking is a composite of how you feel. And I think a lot of people might put that in reverse. So how somebody makes you feel is most likely how you're going to think. Now, that could go either way, obviously, but more importantly, Chris, how long have you been sincerely looking for a business? Now, I would like to stop on the word sincerely for one moment and ask you if you can use that word. I want to challenge you to ask yourselves, can you use the word sincere? Because if it's not a word that you're comfortable with, I want you to look in the mirror. And I'd like for you to look in the mirror and not run by the mirror, but look directly into the mirror and look at yourself. How sincere are you? How honest are you? So if you want somebody to be sincere with you, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be able to give something before it can ever be given back to you. So if you look in the mirror quickly and you're not willing to look in the mirror at yourself on how sincere you are, how can you ever be authentic and honest with somebody else? So I want to ask you to reflect on the comfort of your ability to use the word, Chris, how sincerely have you, how long have you been sincerely looking for a business? Now, the great thing about being sincere and asking about sincerity is you get a sincere answer back. That's the most wonderful thing about it. Now, your client will have one of two responses. Your client will say, well, you know, it's probably been 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. That tells you the client is excited, they're on the early stage, they could be very enthused, and most likely they're a buyer. Now, if the client says 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, a year, 2 years, immediately you know anything after 6 months, they are a shopper. This is where the difference between a buyer and a shopper come into play. Chris, how long have you been sincerely looking for a business? 0 to 6 months, buyer. If they say 6 months to anything beyond that, they are a shopper. Now, the most important thing to realize about anybody that's 6 months and beyond, a year or 2 years, is how do you respond to somebody that says, I've been looking for a year or 2 years, without putting them on the defense, without causing them to white lie, without causing any type of ill will or bad feelings? The question is, you would then say, Chris, what is the significance of 9 months? So now your responsive question would be, Chris, what is the significance of 9 months? The word significance creates an environment where the client can share with you a marriage, a child getting married, a trip, an international trip. They can share with you the real circumstances, or they can reveal reasons, or they can reveal excuses. The key thing is here to know the difference between a circumstance that's honest, a reason that could be honest, or an excuse putting a wall up between their decision making. For example, if the client says, well, what's the significance, Chris, of a year? Did you go on a discovery day? Did you look at an existing business? Did you find something you liked and didn't go forward? Did you go to a discovery day of another franchise system? Yeah, I looked at this business, I got all the way to the end, and it fell apart. Oh, I went to Discovery Day, I went to three of them, and it fell apart. Well, now you know that the client is most likely dealing with deep, deep, deep fear issues to overcome their fears to go into business. Now remember, when somebody is looking to go into business, you are their confidant. You are their faith. You are their trust. You are their coach. You are their consultative support system. You are their educator. It is so, so important that you inspire confidence in their life. And I always say that when you're helping somebody in a career path, be it a child, be it a young college student, be a career counselor, we're in a way, we are a guiding light for them to inspire confidence. So throughout this journey of building this relationship, I must pride myself on inspiring confidence to coming over fear. Everybody that calls you will probably say, I've never been in business. This is the scariest major life decision I've ever made. I can't even believe I'm considering spending $60,000 to $500,000. There is nothing scarier in my life than jumping off a cliff and being self-employed. So we are their parachute. So, so important. So that's the next question. Now, as we move through a little bit and we've looked out in the past at where they've been, how important is it to go future now with them? So what I want to do now is talk a little bit about going to the future. Is this business for yourself, your spouse, or both of you? If you found the right business and or relationship, what is your time frame to sink your teeth into a project? Now, if you'll notice here in the previous question, I said, how long have you been looking, going backwards into their sincere desire to own a business? But now I'm going forward to qualify them on their sincerity to own a business. So, Chris, if you found the right business and or relationship, what is your time frame to sink your teeth into a project? Now, if you'll notice, I didn't say, Chris, what is your time frame to own a business? What is your time to buy a franchise? You know, what is your time frame to buy a business? You don't really buy a business per se. You don't buy a franchise. It's not like you're going to a candy store, a furniture store, automobile dealership to buy a franchise or certificate. You're really making a career change and sinking yourself into a project. And one of the reasons I like the word sink your teeth into a project is it seems to inspire a lioness confidence. So one of the things that I learned over 25 years of building relationships, my clients would always say to me, Scott, I am ready to sink my teeth into a project. And I always found it strange that my clients would always come back to me using that language. And I thought, gosh, you know, why are they so adamant about sinking their teeth into a project? And I always had to reflect on, well, I think I said that, you know, to them, and they grabbed onto it. And it seems like such a confidence builder. I'm sinking my teeth into a project. And so I really like the term, and I think it's inspiring and confidence. And I know that because on Discovery Days, I always hear they're mirroring that language. So very important. Now, if they say to you, well, I'm ready to go right away. Well, if the right business comes along, it's great. Well, if I find the right partnership, the right business, I'm ready to go right away. That's pretty compelling. When you say to somebody, Chris, if you found the right relationship or business, what would your time frame to be to sink your teeth into a project? Well, I'm ready to go. Well, what does that tell you about your client? How revealing, how important, how aware is that? So it's just as important to them as it is to you. What if they're a cooperative buyer, a decisive buyer, and they're just hoping you're cooperative and decisive? They want to know that you're ready to do business too. So it's not that you're selling them. They want to sell you. They may be just as interested in having a solid partner on the other end as you are. So it's a mutual value matching process. So if they say, well, if the right business came around, I would consider it. Well, you know, the next year, year and a half. Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm sort of just shopping around. Then we know that somebody is more of a shopper than a buyer. So now we've qualified them. Now, one of the things that I want to share with you, and I want to put this on a side note, is that you'll notice in building this relationship over the last 20 minutes, what attracted you to contacting Air Duct International. Chris, can you give me a little overview of yourself, your family, your career, married, single, just for your wife or for yourself? Love to hear everything. anything you'd like to say about your past, your current, your future. Just love to learn about you. Sit back, whatever you want to share. You know, Chris, do you have any special or remote or genuine interest in health, fitness, nutrition, wellness? You know, really helping the client have a passion. Certainly very, very important. In that, Chris, you're gainfully employed. Are you looking to supplement, transition, replace, break away? And the reason I'm asking is three of our owners are owner-operated, three are managed as a manager, three are husband and wife teams. Very important to help you learn how to manage the business. And, of course, how long have you been sincerely looking for a business? And if the right opportunity came, what's your time to move forward? You'll notice I didn't ask one question, and it was nothing about money. There was not one question that I asked about money. Now, there are a lot of franchise sales executives in America that will say in the first two questions, Mafid, this is $300,000 to $500,000. Chris, this is $60,000 to $200,000. Gunner, this is $300,000 to $500,000. How would you capitalize this? We don't believe that that is a question that should be asked. It might improve your sales ratio. It might allow you to qualify people quicker. But we don't think it's a genuine, real relationship question. So it always has been my practice that if they're 20 to 30 years of age, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. Now, if somebody is 20 to 30 years of age and I ask them, you know, I'll say to them, you know, this is not a $400 to $1 million investment. We've intentionally designed this to be a $60,000 to $200,000 business. You know, in that you're 28 years of age, probably not a homeowner yet. Does this overextend you? I like to give the 28-year-old the opportunity to say yes and not have to lie to themselves and to me. So I typically will ask the question about money if I can tell that they don't have the wherewithals respectfully. Does this overextend you? Now, if somebody's 30 to 40 years of age and they've got their first home and a young marriage, they've had their first assets, their boats, their cars, their investments, typically I'll say, how would you capitalize an investment like this? Allow them to elaborate. And if they're 40 to 50 or 50 to 60, typically I'll have a good feel for where they work, their income. You'll feel their net worth. You'll feel comfort. You'll say, is this something that you're comfortable with? How would you see yourself capitalizing it? But typically that's as far as I will go. I will not hurry up and say, do you have 60 to 200,000? If you don't, what salespeople say is kill the lead. It's just not what we think to be a decent value system. It's a relationship first. People, they're customers, they're human beings. It's not about the money. I once had a gentleman tell me who was a 30-year veteran in franchise sales. He said, Scott, he says, I can't tell you how many times I saw somebody with $10,000 liquid that had $1 million in the bank. I cannot tell you how many times I had people tell me they had $30,000, they didn't have the money, and I pre-qualified them, and they would do anything they could to get the money, and they bought our franchise. And I want to tell you, this was one of the best franchise salesmen in the country. He never looked at a person, never looked at $10,000. He always said, they might have $10,000 here, but they probably might have $1 million. Or they might have $500, or they might have $200, or they might have $100. And he also said, if somebody wants something bad enough, they will find the money. Now, are those old school principles, or are those common truths, or is that real? And what I learned was, never pre-qualify somebody when they walk into the furniture store with raggedy clothes. Never pre-qualify a customer the way they dress, the way they look, the way they talk. Never pre-qualify a customer on what they put on a piece of paper. And never pre-qualify a customer because it's just not the decent thing to do. So, having said that, that's the way that we qualify, the way we ask questions. And now that we're at the 20-minute point in the call, now we are going to what I call transition the call away from the client, and now we are going to transition the call a little bit more towards Air Duct International. Now, how much respect have we built in this call? How much trust have we built? How much of a friend do we have? Because what we did was we cared about the client. We cared to listen. We cared to feel. We cared to be genuine. We cared to be honest. We cared to ask questions that nobody else would ask. We cared to help them find their passion. We helped them discover their own truths. But more than anything, we cared to listen. And by listening, we are diagnosing the pain that our client is in. When is the last time you went to a doctor and he didn't have a list of questions? A good doctor will ask you question after question after question after question. Why are they asking you questions? They're trying to diagnose your pain so that they can give you a remedy to help you to a solution. We are in the pain management business, transitioning people from corporate America into self-employed America, the capital dream. So, now at this point in the call, what I would like to do is I would like to ask the question, Chris, what I would like to do now is ask you if you would like to for me to give you an overview of Air Duct International. Now, did you notice how I asked for permission? The client spoke for 20 minutes, and now after they're done talking, I say, Chris, would you like for me now to give you an overview of Air Duct International? Now, that is my transition sentence to allow me now to have the opportunity to have 10 minutes of my story, my industry, my concept, to get my client enthused and excited. Now, interestingly enough, this transition question is permission-based. And when I say, Chris, would you like for me now to give you an overview of the Air Duct International business model, my clients will always respond favorably by saying, Scott, I cannot believe I spoke so much. Scott, absolutely. Thank you so much. I'd love to hear what you have to say. And that's the benefit of being respectful and then asking permission, would you like for me now to give you an overview of Air Duct International? Now, the greatest thing you do when you build respect at 10 minutes in the call, that client will not now, if he has interruptions from his boss, his children, his wife, his soccer game, anything that he's doing, he will drop them off. Now, if you don't build that kind of respect within 8 minutes into the call, they'll say, I got to go. My kid's soccer. I got to go to this meeting. My boss just showed up. The worst thing that can happen to a franchise sales executive is 9 minutes into the call, they say, I've got to go. The lead is dead because you are not aware and you are not sensitive to their environment. Are they calling from a cubicle? Are they calling from an airport? Are they calling from their car? Are they calling from their living room? Are they calling from out in the parking lot? Are they calling from a grocery store? So if they're in a hurry and you can't feel that environment, if they have to say, I have to let you go, that lead is no longer a lead. You become a telemarketer. They've reduced you down to a telemarketer simply because you were not able to feel the environment they were in. Now, as I asked this question to Chris about, Chris, would you like for me now to give you an overview of the Air Duct International model? And I get this resounding yes. Now we call it rolling out the red carpet. Now, what I like to do with my clients is I like them to ask themselves, do you really have a red carpet? And what would that red carpet look like if you had an opportunity to walk on that red carpet? Now, you might have 100 franchise candidates on each side of that carpet, and if you roll your red carpet out the best, all of those candidates are going to want to join you, correct? So, my red carpet has always been a sequence of logical thoughts. My first thing is, when I'm rolling out the red carpet, I will inform and educate you and get you excited about the growth of my industry. So, in Air Duct International, heating and air conditioning and circulation is without a doubt the fastest, largest industry in the United States. The circulation of air, both hot and cold, in a residential and a commercial environment is without a doubt the most important need we have, more than water or food or pets or homes or cars or gas or money. Oxygen is the fastest growing industry in the United States and around the world. So we are in the circulation business. We are in the heating and cooling industry, and we are the stewards. We are the governors of clean and healthy breathing and living. We want all of our customers to enjoy the cleanest natural air. Now, that's our industry. Currently, it's a $50 billion industry, and it's made up of very few players on a public level. On one hand, we have a few major players that are the national publicly traded companies, Sears, Beltone, Ducks. which are very large organizations that have huge overheads, and they have very limited services, very high prices, very, very limited guarantees. And so we really don't want to associate ourselves with this side of the industry. Where we have really found the real intimacy of our concept is that we feel like that when a client inquires on the phone, that we're the most responsive, we return their call, we answer their call within 2 minutes. We have highly trained telephone experts to answer the phones. All of our telephone consultants are trained on the industry to estimate. All of them are trained how to see and prevent and answer problems about air duct. They're also very adept at introducing the concept of air duct cleaning on the phone to schedule nice caliber appointments with our certified technicians. And when we come out on the job, the one thing you'll notice is all of our technicians are trained, they're smiling, they're clothed, they're uniformed, they're branded, their equipment is clean, their trucks are clean, everything is immaculate, just like the air ducts we're about to clean. You will not see a truck that is not spotless. You won't see a technician's that's not spotless. You won't see the front of a truck that's not spotless. The reason is we sell one thing. That's healthy living and clean air and healthy longevity. We sell clean air. That's how important it is for us to be in this industry as a leader. Now, from a business perspective, one of the things that we think makes us a compelling opportunity is we think not only do we deliver value to the consumer, but we think that our business model, the startup cost, is lower than anybody in our industry. So we've got a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 startup, franchise fee, turnkey vans, with all sorts of unique financing. We have a very, very low break-even point. In fact, I'll go as far as say, as some markets, our break-even point's $100 to $250 a day. It's not unusual to have a $5,000 a month overhead, $1,000 a week overhead. And yet, these are the expenses of the business. And all of our market sizes are rural, medium, metro, and major metro. All of our markets, we have unique market pricing. And the reason we have unique market pricing is that in some markets, there are fewer ducts. In the homes in the Midwest, we might have simply 24 different ducts. In a house in California, in Malibu, there might be 12. The price of a duct in Malibu might be $650, but the price of the 24 might be $50. So we might do 24 at 50 for 1,000, and we might do 12 for for 200 for the same amount of money. So the thing we want to share with you is market sizing. Now, if you'll notice as I'm walking on the red carpet, I have already put together an industry segment, I put a concept segment, I've put an investment segment, and now the client is starting to peak. And they're going, wow, this industry is unbelievable. This concept is so well differentiated. They have separated and elevated. They've separated, elevated. They've separated, elevated themselves. Unbelievably radical points of difference with guarantees and great customer service, great pricing, great equipment. My gosh, are they a great concept? Honey, I can't believe the startup cost. I cannot believe the low break-even point. The pricing is very reasonable. I really like this. And this is what's going through the mind as you spend your 10 minutes. Now, as you roll to the carpet and you can feel your client get totally excited, you've reached your 10-minute point. But the one thing I want you to notice, your client never interrupted you. You had an opportunity to walk the red carpet with who you are, with passion, with enthusiasm, with focus, with respect, without interruption. And the one thing I want you to notice is we did not go off on different tangents. So I didn't say to the client, let's talk about startup costs. Let's talk about our customer. Let's talk about our industry. Let's talk about training. Let's talk about trucks. Let's talk about technicians. Let's talk about the hours. If you'll notice, the client did not feel compelled to take me off in all these different directions that would have no value to the process of bringing on a new partner. So we created an environment ourselves that was orderly, respectful, and enthusiastic. Now, it wouldn't be like that if I made it a conversation. So in the beginning of the session, had I done all the talking, I would have just been in a conversation going back and forth, and it would have been highly reactive, zigzag windshield all over the place, but I did not create that environment. Now, the call is 20 minutes into the call. He's had his 10 minutes, you've had his 10. He's peaking, he's excited. I call it 700 degrees on the grill. How many of you have went out to a beautiful grill and you've put your grill on and you've said, we're going to get it to 700 degrees, pull the top down, and we call this the 700 degree. This is how excited the client is. Now, it's our job when they're enthusiastic now to now separate and move away and now engage the client with what we call bridging. Now, bridging means that we have both got to know each other, their pain and their interest and their desires. We've shared with them our excitement, our enthusiasm, and our desires. We are now both at a point in the call where mutuality and respect has been built. So I will now say to Chris, based on our conversation today, does the Air Duct International opportunity sound like something you would like to learn more about? We call this bridging professionalism. Now, this is where the friendship goes away and where the professionalism starts. This is where the empathy and the sympathy go away and the procedure and the credibility move forward. We have to draw a line between conversations and friendships and conversations and friendships versus professionalism and diagnosis and procedure. Based on our conversation today, Chris, does the Air Duct International business opportunity sound like something you'd like to get more information on? A resounding yes. We call this bridging. Now, the one thing I'd like to ask you to consider is never to use the word, Chris, based on what I told you, based on what you've heard, based on what I'm saying, based on what I'm saying to you. When you say, Chris, based on what you've heard, based on what I told you, are you interested? You reduce yourself down to a telemarketer, you're no longer an equal to a client. So if you spend all this time getting the client excited, all you were doing was reciprocating your rights to share your story. There was nothing more, nothing less. It was what we call an act of reciprocation, if you will, and an act of mutuality. So at this point, you've said, that's all I have to say. Based on our conversation, would you like to learn more about Air Duct International? I found in my career that almost 100% of my clients would say, yes, Scott, I can't wait to learn more. Well, thank you so much. You bet. And Chris, if you don't mind, can I please tell you a little bit how we do business as a corporation? First of all, what I'd like to say is tell you a little bit how we do business as a corporation. Love for you to tell me if you feel like this is a fair approach. First and foremost, we receive anywhere from 50 to 100 to 200 to 500 franchise inquiries a month. And quite frankly, you know, we didn't expect this kind of overwhelming interest. Last month alone, we had over 50 franchise inquiries. In the last 3 months, we've had over 300. In the last 4 months, we've had over 500 franchise inquiries. So we're very grateful. There's a tremendous amount of interest in our uniqueness and our brand. And so the first thing I want you to know is that we are going to forward you a packet of information. We're going to mail it. It's going to give you close to 90% of your questions, your answers to your questions. It's a beautiful professional packet. You'll probably get it in the next 3 or 4 days. The reason we do it is we want to communicate to you our professionalism. We want it to answer close to 90% of your questions. And we send this out to every one of our clients we speak to just so that they can get a lot of their questions answered. And what you'll find is in this process, we do not appoint franchises by telephone. And a lot of times people that have never bought a franchise or been approved for a franchise, they don't really know what the process is. So we do not appoint franchises by telephone. I know you could probably appreciate that. And the reason we say this is most people that are buying a franchise for the first time, they really don't know, you know, is my salesman going to fly to my city and meet me at a coffee shop for a cup of coffee? Are they going to tell me to meet them at a hotel room in a big training center? Are they going to tell me to go to a regional center down in Lubbock and meet me down there? Are they going to say, hey, we take credit card over the phone? send in your $40,000 franchise fee as a complete stranger, and we'll just debit your account. They have no earthly idea on how they're going to be approved for a franchise. They don't know the term Discovery Day from Adam's house cat. So the reason we say, you know, Chris, let me tell you how we do business. Tell me if you feel it's a fair approach. We get over 200 franchise inquiries a month. We do not appoint franchises by telephone. You can appreciate that, can't you? Maybe a little chuckle, make them feel comfortable. Give them an implied message that there's a process without saying, here's our process. So create an implied message, but have some empathy that they have no earthly idea what a Discovery Day is. They have no earthly idea what a partnering process is. They have no idea how they even buy a franchise. You know, and that's why we say we don't appoint them by telephone, because it clearly implies, okay, well, I'd be next. You know, there's a process, okay? Now, we're going to go ahead and forward you this information. You can answer 90% of your questions. And Chris, one of the things you'll notice in the brochure is there is a request for consideration. And this is what we call an application process. Now, if you've ever bought a home, if you've ever bought, you know, any financed any furniture, financed a car, if you've ever done anything, a line of credit, you'll know that, you know, reputable organizations have an application process. And the application process is a simple form. We don't ask for your credit score. We're not going to pull your credit. We don't ask for bank accounts. But it's a basic, genuine understanding of what market you're in, the size of your market, your management background, your income, you're married, you're single, or you're a homeowner, the basic criteria that we know that somebody is real on the other end, a genuine party. Now, we get over 100, 200 franchise inquiries a month. Those that decide to fill this application out are genuinely interested in sinking their teeth into something. Now, the thing I want to share with you about the request for consideration, by no means does it obligate you or does it obligate us as a franchisor. There's no obligation. We don't want our clients thinking because they fill out a request for consideration, they've decided to go into business, and we don't want them to think that they've been approved for our franchise. So I want to take that sort of mystery away right up front, but it also helps us know that somebody's genuine. Now, when we receive your request for consideration, that will allow us then to start giving you information. So, you know, you give and you get a little bit, but if you want to get a little information on the startup cost, the numbers, our item 19, if you want to learn more about the concept, anything that's proprietary, you know, we can't just give this information out to complete strangers. So please fill this out, fax it, scan it, get it back to me. And then after I get your request for consideration, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to email you, call you, let you know I've got it, it's received, it's confirmed, I've opened up your file, and then I'm going to present your interest to the members of our executive committee. We have our chairman and CEO. We meet once or twice a week. We sit down, we go through all the applications, and in those meetings, when we're presenting your interest for your market, they're looking at our relationship that you and I have. And they're looking at, are you in a rural market, a medium market, metro, major market? They're looking at your career background. Will it be a husband and wife team, manage a manager, owner, operator? You know, have you ever been in business before? Why you think you want to be in this business? You know, we want to really value match with the people we want to bring into our franchise family. So could I ask you to certainly fill this out? Now, the nice thing about this form is after we get off this phone, I'll email you a link. It's just a nice little follow-up link. You can fill it out. I'll also be mailing it to you. You know, we've got a fax here, e-fax, or you can scan it, send it back. I know a lot of our clients don't have, they just don't have scan machines. Now, do you have a pen handy? Chris, do you have a pen handy on that end over there? I do. Let me give you my e-fax number. So my e-fax number, if you will, is 805-496-4284. One more time, 805-496-4284. And what that'll do is that'll be a good fax. It's a nice e-fax for you. Don't feel like you have to scan it. You can mail it, but I'll tell you what, to make it easier, let me just follow up with the link. I'll send you a nice link. It's beautiful. It'll come right back and we'll go from there. Now, once we get your application, we get you presented, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to schedule a little meeting with you, just a little, you know, recap meeting. And I may have some questions. from our executive team. I may ask you about your finances. I may ask you about your market. I may ask you about anything that they want to know about. We want to know about. And then hopefully we're going to give you preliminary approval in the process. That's a nice congratulatory. Nothing more, nothing less, but it gets you started in the process. It's sort of a let's go, thumbs up. And then that's going to give us the opportunity to start sharing all of our proprietary information, recipes for success, all of the confidentiality, all the trade secrets, all the things that we do to be successful. How does that sound to you, Chris? Great. So after we get that, we get your preliminary approval, the next step in the process is we are going to invite you into what we call our concept compatibility call. Now, the reason we refer to it as a concept compatibility call is we think that value matching is one of the most essential ingredients to being a successful franchise family. And value matching means something a little different to us than just selling a business model to somebody who's got the money and interest. We think value matching means finding people that have like values, personal values, family values, concept values. For example, let's say you're looking at a McDonald's franchise and you say to McDonald's, we're selling hot dogs in our store and we're going to have a full service pizza bar. That would not be a good value match because conceptually you have a strong passion for hot dogs and a pizza bar. So In-N-Out Burger, you know, they've got a burger, a fry, and a drink. So if you're going to have five burgers, three types of fries, and four types of drinks, there's probably not a good value match, you know, for In-N-Out Burger and yourself. So first and foremost, we want to make sure there's the value match. The second thing, we want you to know how important your support system is. Now, when we say support system, what we mean is this. All of our franchise partners are married or single. All of them have a partner of some sort, or they have an investor, or they have a partnership. We think that being self-employed is about unity and oneness and intimacy in your support system. We think that to be successful in business, that you're only as good as your support system. We see self-employment to be a little canoe in the big, big river. We see it to be a canoe in the big ocean. And we see a husband and wife, a partner, an investor partner in that canoe together, supporting each other. And when one of those partners falls out of that canoe, we see the entire canoe fall over. So the most important value that we have in our company is the courtesy to invite your support system. Now, we have a lot of clients that will say, well, it's just for me. It's my money. It's my dream. It's my inheritance. It's my lottery. This is for me. Well, that's my responsibility as a franchise consultant to embrace that, to understand what they're saying, to care for that, but to also redirect that to our values. Now, I really believe that if a corporation, a franchisor believes this, then so will their franchisees. But if that's not truly a value system that you believe in as the president and CEO, and that's not something that's important to you, then support system is not, then that's your value system. But we believe that it's our obligation as franchise sales executives to say, Chris, what I'd like to do is invite you into this concept compatibility call. It's going to be a one-hour presentation. We're going to invite your wife, your partner, your whoever's going to be your investing partner. You're going to have two of our top executives on that phone. We're going to take you through our industry, our concept, our trucks, our equipment, our pricing, our technicians, our marketing, all the elements. It'll answer 100 of your questions. It's a one-hour presentation. But we would like to invite your spouse. Now, Chris, would you be willing to tentatively invite your spouse into this call? You would. Fantastic. Great. Well, this is for me. Well, Chris, let me ask you this. Let's say you got all the way down through the discovery and you were awarded, approved for a franchise. You came to discovery day and you brought your spouse and they said, over my dead body, you're not going forward. You went through the last 8 weeks all on your own. It was all your dream and all your money and all your opinions. But then you invite them to Discovery Day, and they say, over my dead body, I'm not allowing you to do this. That happens on a regular basis in our industry. So I do want to say that. And so now, Chris, as we go forward here with the application and setting up the concept compatibility, How does that sound to you so far? Great, great, great. Well, Chris, so let me ask you this. Before we end today, do you have any questions for me? Now, I'm at 40 minutes into the call. I'm at 45 minutes into the call. And what did I do when I bridged? So let's recite the bridging. Chris, based on our conversation today, does the AirDuck International business opportunity sound like something you'd like to get firm information on? Absolutely. I love what I've heard you say. Well, great. Chris, let me tell you how we do business as a corporation, and you tell me if it's a fair approach. We get over 50 to 200 franchise inquiries a month, and as you might expect, we just can't appoint franchises by telephone. You can appreciate that, can't you? So, you know, we don't want people sending money in the mail, credit cards. We don't appoint franchises by telephone. So essentially what we do, we're going to send you out a beautiful packet. It's going to answer 90% of your questions. Very professional. You'll get it in the mail in the next 3 or 4 days. Give us a reason to talk again as well, a little follow-up. And there'll be a request for consideration within that, which is our application. And our application is a front and back. There's no checking accounts, no credit scores, just basic work, market, management. They have a little light financial information. But once you fill that out, that will allow me to present your interest to the members of our executive committee. And then I'll report back to you a preliminary approval. And once I receive your preliminary approval, I'm going to be able to invite you into the inside of our discovery process, what we call our partnering process. It's a matching process. And we're going to allow you to schedule your concept compatibility call. So the concept compatibility call is a one-hour call. We're going to invite your spouse, friend, you know, whoever's going to be involved, and you're going to meet two of the top executives in the company. It's going to be scheduled by appointment. It'll be a screen share. You're going to see some beautiful pictures, some nice professional presentations. We're going to take you through an hour, and I will assure you it'll answer a lot of your questions. Okay? How does that sound to you, Chris? Fantastic. Well, Chris, if we get through the concept compatibility call and we're all still on board, we're all still excited, then we're going to introduce you to the next step in the process, and that's called our mutual expectation call. And the mutual expectation call is another wonderful opportunity to meet two of our executives that are going to take you through the entire training and support system. So they're going to take you through everything from the day you sign your franchise agreement. And then immediately, the minute you sign your franchise agreement, they're going to take you through your pre-opening, your post-opening, your marketing, technology, all of our equipment. We're going to take you through our website and anything to do with training and support to give us that security of working with each other. And then after the mutual expectation, a lot of our clients will say, well, what's my next step in that process? We have a wonderful program called How to Open Your Business Safely and Creatively Under Budget. It's one of our fantastic workshops, and it's one of the best workshops we do. It's hosted by the president and CEO of our company, Chris. It takes place twice a month on Fridays. The second Friday and the fourth Friday of the month starts at 9 o'clock. It's an hour, and he's going to take you through how to open the business safely and creatively under budget, and all those kinds of things, you know, in the process. So in a sense, that's the way that, so some clients, you want to sell the application concept call and then close on the application. So if the call is 40, 45 minutes, you're selling the application, concept call. You keep it simple. Sell the app, concept call. Sell the app, concept call. Come back and close on the application. You're going to mail it, email it, get it back to me. Now, if you say to the client at the end of the call, you're at 48 minutes, if I say, Chris, before we end today, do you have any final questions for me? Before we end today, you're at 45 minutes, do you have any final questions for me? This is what I call of giving the client an opportunity to kick into a new gear. This is what I call allowing a client to say, I'm so excited, do you mind if we spend another 15 minutes on the call? If I don't ask you this question, what have I done? I don't allow the client to have another 15 minutes of my time. The client is so excited, they want to know what's the next step after the concept compatibility, mutual expectation, startup workshop, discovery day, disclosure document. Give them that opportunity by saying, Chris, before we end today, do you have any other questions you might like to ask me? Leave it on an up note. An up note. Chris, before we end today, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask me? Leave it on an up note. Not a down note. Leave it on an up note. The client deserves the right to want to be on the phone with you another 15 minutes. So if they want to stretch it from 55 to an hour and a half, that's because they're interested and they want to go deeper and they're more committed and they want to buy your franchise. That's why we ask that question. It's a courtesy question, not just to get off the phone. So that is the end of call one in the script. Thank you very much.